It had been a week since I started working at the Circle K a few blocks from my house. I'd just graduated from high school, and instead of spending my summer free of responsibilities, I chose to get a job to start saving for my first college semester. Most of my shifts were taken, so I considered myself fortunate to snag the graveyard shift. I lived in a smaller town, so it wasn't unusual to see a lack of customers. I didn't exactly enjoy being up all night, but at least it was peaceful. I spent the majority of my time with my creepy coworker, Jim. He was a short, older man with a bald spot on his head that reminded me of George Costanza. He was pale and plump. His gut was round and indicated he'd pounded one too many beers on his days off. His eyes were beady and sunken in. They hid behind thick glasses, yet still managed to give me the chills when his gaze would meet mine. I'd catch him staring at me sometimes, until I felt so uncomfortable that I'd have to turn away. I assumed he was a loner. He didn't interact with me or anyone who came into the store. The only thing that would bring him to life was when we'd get the occasional unruly loiterer outside. His solemn mood would shift to anger. He'd shout, ball his fists, and make threats that would scare them off. As crazy as it seemed, it was effective. I felt safe. One night, as I bounced into the store, feeling energized and ready for my shift, he was standing behind the register, his face red and sweaty. He wiped his forehead with the back of his wrist and looked up at me.
"Claire,"
he grumbled. "Hi, Jim. You okay?"
"I'm fine. Listen, stay out of the restroom. Something's wrong with the plumbing. I called the manager. They'll have someone come fix it in the morning. If you need to go, go across the street to the diner and use theirs. They're open all night."
He furrowed his brow and pushed the bridge of his glasses up with a pudgy index finger, then huffed.
Okay. Thanks for the heads up."
I gave him a confused look before clocking in. I didn't exactly like the idea of going out of my way just to pee, but our store was small and only had one unisex restroom, so I didn't have a choice. Jim didn't seem like himself at all. He'd never spoken so many words to me in one night, and he looked exhausted. Perhaps he and the plunger had duked it out in the restroom and he lost the battle. I chuckled at the thought as I began my shift. A few hours passed and I was busy restocking items in a corner near the restroom. I was humming one of my favorite songs when a loud thump startled me.
"What was that?"
I yelped. Jim rushed over.
"What was what?"
he demanded. Another thump was heard and I jumped.
"That noise!"
He grabbed my arm and yanked me away.
"It's the pipes. I told you something's wrong with the plumbing. Don't go in there."
"I wasn't going to," I stammered.
It was just the pipes."
Jim scowled at me and then turned away to help a customer who'd walked in. A few hours later, he announced that he was heading across the street to the diner and would return shortly. He handed the mop to me and told me to finish what he'd started. I did what I was told. As I moved across the floor, sliding the mop around, it happened again. The thumping. I froze. I was no plumber, but the noise I was hearing sounded nothing like pipes. I set the mop aside and held my breath as I inched closer to the restroom and placed my hand on the knob. I turned it slowly. I was going to find out what it was. I let out an exasperated sigh, realizing it was locked. I reached for the mop so I could get back to work, but paused when I heard it again. It was getting louder. The hairs on my arms and back of my neck prickled. My heart raced as I tried to swallow the lump in my throat. I rushed back to the door and pressed my ear against it. The thumping continued. Curiosity had gotten the best of me, so I hurried to get the keys to the restroom, but couldn't find them. I quickly searched for something to pick the lock. I found a paperclip and shook my head, knowing it probably wouldn't work, but I had to try anyway. I grabbed it and ran back to the door. I bent it and poked it in the keyhole, wiggling it around. I stopped, and my eyes widened when I heard the entrance door chime. Jim was back. I didn't say a word and listened as he walked in. I looked over my shoulder and saw him standing behind me, staring.
I told you not to go in there, Claire. You don't listen.
He spoke with a grave tone as he slowly inched closer towards me, his eyes burning into mine. I don't think that's thumping in the pipes, Jim. I need to check it out. Where are the keys? I turned to face him. I tried to sound bold despite the intimidating expression on his face.
I have them. Don't worry about it. Get back to work.
He pointed towards the register and snapped his fingers. No, I'm going to call the manager. This is crazy. I pulled my cell phone from my back pocket, and that's when he lunged at me. I screamed and tried to get past him, but he shoved me. I fell back against the door. His solemn mood quickly switched to one of anger, and I panicked. I remembered how angry he'd get with the loiterers.
Stop, Jim, please! You're scaring me! I begged.
His face was flushed and his fists were clenched.
You girls never listen, do you?
His voice was hoarse and his eyes darted from side to side. He was contemplating his next move and I didn't want to be there for it. I rushed to one side and squealed as he tried to shove me again. I managed to get past him and tried to bolt for the door, but his stout body was faster than I'd expected, and he wrapped his arm around my waist, stopping me. His breath was hot and heavy on my neck.
It looks like I'm gonna have to punish you too!
He grunted into my ear and squeezed his arms tight around me.
What the hell are you talking about? Let me go!
I reached back and dug my nails into the side of his face. He cried out in pain, letting go long enough for me to push away and try to make a run for it. I looked back and saw him following. His eyes seemed glazed over as he growled like a crazed beast and screamed profanities at me. Blood dripped from his cheek. A few buttons on his work shirt had busted off from the struggle, and his repulsive gut was exposed as he heaved himself at me once more. I was almost to the door when my foot slipped on the wet floor. I fell forward and landed hard, my head making a sickening thump as it met the tile. My vision was blurred as I looked back at Jim. He hovered over me and grinned, seeming proud that he'd won. My eyes fluttered, and everything went black. When I came to, I was in a hospital room with my mother. She explained that just as I had passed out, two large men entered the store and saw Jim trying to drag me to the restroom. They called the police and were able to keep him detained long enough for the authorities to get there. But what made my heart nearly stop was that she informed me of what they'd found in the restroom. It was a girl, gagged and bound. The thumping I'd heard had been her kicking as she struggled to get my attention that whole night. Jim told the cops that she was trying to shoplift, and he locked her in there as a form of punishment and was going to deal with her after his shift ended. The incident still gives me goosebumps to this day. Needless to say, I'm glad we both made it out alive, but I'll never be working at another convenience store again.
This happened on my last night at the Circle K outlet, where I had worked for almost 3.5 years. It was around 5 a.m. I was arranging the shelves. The assistant manager, Paul, was standing at the counter and watching some videos on YouTube. It was just the two of us that night. I wasn't expecting anyone soon, but suddenly, a pleasant-looking older woman walked in. She was dressed in all black and had an expressionless face. She poured two cups of coffee and brought them to the front to see Paul. He greeted her, rang her up, and asked, "That'll be all, ma'am?" She stood there silently for a few seconds and walked back to the shelves. She kept staring at the products, thinking she'd forgotten something. Paul waited patiently for her to return. After a few minutes, the woman came back with a packet of instant ramen noodles. Paul rang her up and again asked, "All right, that's all then?" She silently walked back and back over to the shelves. She looked at me with a look of slightly panicked confusion. At this point, I realized that this pleasant-looking older woman was well-dressed in all black. quiet and was wearing a gold cross. I looked at her and looked at Paul and said in a low voice, "I think she's going to a funeral." I looked at the clock and said, "All right, I have time for this." It was about 5:35, and I wasn't technically off till 6, so I walked across the store to where she was standing. She turned and looked at me with the strangest, hollowest eyes. I looked at her with as much compassion as I could muster, and I asked, "Who was it?" She gave me a look like she didn't understand how I knew. She opened her mouth to answer and started to wail instead. She began crying hysterically, loudly. She threw her arms around me and collapsed on the floor by the coolers, just a crumbled and broken person. I wrapped the woman in my arms. I held her while she cried, and I tried my best to comfort her with genuine concerns. She told me it was her husband, and there had been an accident, a sudden and violent death, and she blamed herself. After 10 minutes of the most soul-shattering crying you can imagine, I helped her to her feet, and I walked her out of the store into the parking lot. I ran back into the store and buy her coffee, and went back out to talk with her. She hugged me and continued to cry. I talked to her about the fragility of life and how you can't blame yourself for accidents, no matter how much you believe it's your fault. They're not. I didn't want to leave her in such a terrible state. Finally, after an hour, she seemed like she pulled herself together. She stopped crying, fixed herself up, and looked at me and said, "What church do you go to?" "Well, I don't go to church." "Why not?" "It's not really for me." "Well, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" No, I haven't." "Well, why not?" "Well, I'm an atheist." The woman's face churned into disgust. "You're a monster."
I'm sorry?"
"He who has not accepted Jesus will suffer an eternity in the darkest pits of hell." Being completely shocked by her sudden change of behavior, I moved away from her. She screamed, "You touched me! How dare you touch me with your unclean hands! You who dares make a mockery of the Bible! You who has turned your back against God! How dare you touch me! How dare you touch someone like me!" I nervously went back into the store while she screamed more and more obscenities at me. I walked behind the counter and Paul asked,
So, how did it go?"
I was too stunned to answer, but I tried explaining just when the Circle K entrance slammed open and the woman re-entered the store. But this time, she looked nothing like a laminated wife. Her eyes were bloodshot. Her body was shaking in anger. Paul sensed something wasn't right, so he said,
Ma'am, are you all right?"
"This place needs cleansing."
"What?" Ma'am, we clean here every day." "Paul, it's not what she meant." "What do you mean?"
I told him how the woman thinks I'm scum here because I don't believe in God. Thinking this was just a lightheaded manner, Paul walked close to the woman to make her understand where she was going wrong, and that's where she did the unthinkable. "Help me! Help me! These men are taking advantage of me! Oh Lord, save me from these devils!" Saying this, she started ripping off her clothes like a lunatic. I quickly realized that she was trying to do. This woman was a nut job. She was trying to frame me and Paul as sexual offenders. Paul screamed, "What the hell is wrong with you? Leave, now, or I'm calling the cops." "Yes, call them." "So I want you to call them so I can show them what you're doing to me. Call them right now." "Bloody hell." "You think you can beat me? I have the Lord at my side. And the cops will too, after seeing how you ripped my clothes off. You two monsters will suffer the wrath of the Almighty's judgment. That's when I decided enough was enough. I looked her in the eye and said in a stern, cold voice, "You know we have security cameras all over this place, right? So no matter what you do to yourself to frame us is getting recorded with actual evidence. So even if your Almighty sides with you, the cops won't. Because the law doesn't run on belief, but on evidence. And we will have to show it to the cops when they arrive. Paul, lock the doors so she can't run away." As soon as I said this, her face turned pale. She looked around the corners trying to spot the security cameras. Once she did, she took a few steps back and stopped making a scene she was making a few moments back. She then ran to the exit, opened the door to leave before we could lock her in. For one last time, she turned towards me and said something that will still give me goosebumps. "I'll never let you live in peace. Never. Never. Never!" I left my job the next day. People might call me a coward, but I had this feeling that the woman would come back for me. And guess what she did the next morning? She did. With a gun. Luckily, Paul saw her pulling up to the driveway and immediately locked the door so she couldn't get in. He called the cops, but the woman escaped just the moment while she heard the cop sirens approaching. I changed my address long ago. God, I hope I never see that woman again.